The offense is staying on the field. It looks like they are going for two and the win. A flip to the running back. Can he get to the pylon? Yes, he can. You are listening to the Going for Two Live Podcast Network. Going for two, because no one remembers the extra point.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 24, the Mamba episode.
Let's talk about it. It's
the one and only Mamba episode. We're not going to mention any of the athletes that wore 24 because they're irrelevant. It's the Mamba episode. I am your host, Danny Ocean, as always, joined by the smoothest man on the planet, Losty Mix. How you living, baby?
Hey, man, you know, I'm living blessed. It's always a blessing to be here with you, my boy, Danny Ocean. You already know when you see this Nas fade, it could only be one brother, the good brother, Losty Mix. Hey, man, I told y'all a couple weeks ago I was going to hold out on giving some NFL takes until I saw how some things shaked out. Things have shooken out. And best believe I'm about to be right back on my bullshit today. I'm gonna let it known to the people. I am gonna be on my bullshit today. Y'all folks out here, y'all prayed on the Packers' downfall. Y'all prayed on the breakup. Could you knew what would happen if we sent that man out to the AFC. They knew what would happen. The NFC knew what would happen. That's why you saw Bears fans salty, cheering for the breakup. I seen you Vikings fans. I seen you Cowboys fans. I done seen you Washington football fans. I done seen y'all out here in these comments praying on the downfall of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And what did we do? I don't know what, hey, man. Danny, what's good, man? How's your weekend?
It's been good. It's been busy. You know, work is work, as my mother would always say, but it's good. It's good to be on the good side of things. As always, this show is brought to you by goingfor2.com. Head over to goingfor2.com for all your daily seasonal fantasy needs. Like football, we're 7 weeks away. The content is really starting to gear up. Start sits. Yeah. We have a show every night of the week for every type of fantasy player. Come on over. We got something for you. What's up, Dan? How you living? Hey, welcome. Welcome.
What's good?
As always, if you talk in the chat, we talk back. Los, where are we starting at this afternoon? What are we doing?
Man, we starting, before we get into the NFL, let's start with some Olympic basketball talk. So last Sunday, Team USA, they lost to Iran. They lost.
They lost to Rudy Gobert.
They lost to France, excuse me. They lost to France over the weekend, and now the Team USA needs to beat both Iran and the Czech Republic to make it to the medal round. So, Danny, I'm going to start by asking you, do you think Team USA is in trouble? And on top of that, is Coach Pop the guy to lead them forward? Holla at me. Speak on it.
So this round of Olympics, yes, Team USA is in trouble because they've been looking real sloppy. And if we're being honest, this isn't America's best that we could have put out there. That's why I'm not too concerned moving forward. But for this Olympics, yeah, they're in trouble. Like, they've lost three out of the last four. They've lost to France. I think this is the first time they've lost an Olympic game since like 2004. But at the same time, I think we have to, context matters. The NBA season just ended a week ago. So Book, Drew, and Chris are fresh off the finals. They didn't get, thanks to the bubble, they're not in rhythm to how they usually, you know, operate during an Olympic year. Not saying that's an excuse, but that context has to be added. Now, in regards to, like, I keep hearing people say the world has caught up. I don't think that to that degree, because if I put LeBron, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Kyrie, and James Harden on a plane right now to go to Tokyo, it wouldn't be an issue. Like, they'd win by 40. So if America puts out their best team, like the best NBA players, I don't think the world stands that much of a chance. Is Pop that dude? I mean, big picture, Pop looking real suspect when he ain't got the best power forward in the game on his team. Kawhi Leonard on his team.
You know, this is, I think this sounds like the Dallas Maverick fan hating you, that you know, yes, just like your fellow Texas NBA team, obviously the way more successful one in terms of championship pedigree. So you just don't like their coach because he's been a part of it.
Where, all respect to Popovich, he's one of the greatest coaches ever. Like, I'm not being disrespectful, but you can't sit here and tell me since Tim Duncan retired, his resume looking kind of shaky.
Hey, you got to credit some of that to injuries. You know, I think like Kawhi's last year was the year after Tim Duncan retired. That team made it to the Western Conference Finals and Kawhi, you know, got hurt and we know what happened from there. And then after that, you know, rosters have just been a little shaky. They haven't had
every generational player.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they lost a generational player, but you know, you guys just, I'm trying to cut him some bail, but I see where you're coming from. I'm starting to see where you come from the more I talk this one out. I think in my opinion, is Team USA in trouble? Who, man? If I was in a room and had the red panic button, my hand would be hovering over pressing the panic button. I do think that, you know, even though this is, let's just say, maybe the A and a half squad, I think this is a team that's good enough to win gold. I just think that the time for figuring it out is over now. I think we're in a point now where, look, we need y'all to stop being hoopers and be basketball players, the five best basketball players in the world. We know y'all the five best hoopers in the world right now, but we gotta play some good, sound core team basketball. And to anchor off that point, oh, man.
Come on.
I don't know, man. Pop, it may be time to just focus on the Spurs. It may be time to, I don't know. I think it may be time to explore maybe one of the younger coaches or maybe one of the up-and-coming coaches and maybe give them a chance. I think Pop may just need to focus on the Spurs. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's still a potential playoff team if they can get out the NBA purgatory. I just think Pop may focus on the Spurs. And that's how I'm answering that question.
I really do appreciate the FIBA rules. It's been really kind of annoying watching these NBA players hunt for fouls. It's like we don't do that over in these parts. Like, now we don't do that over.
BJ said that American squad out right now is the B plus squad at best.
And he is correct. That's being nice. This is the C squad.
Damn.
Like, take those five guys: LeBron, AD, Steph, Harden, Kyrie. Wanted to go play USA. Who you kicking off? You're kicking off Middleton. You're probably kicking off JaVale. You're kicking off, I'm going to say you kick off Jeremiah Grant. You probably kick off Zach LaVine. Well, Zach will probably be
Johnson. You'll probably kick off Kelly.
Yeah,
you'll
kick.
I think you'll keep Zach LaVine, though, by the way.
Yeah, they would keep Zach. That was my bad. But yeah, like, this isn't the roster, right? This isn't the best five that America can roll out. I don't think, like, Kevin Durant's the only superstar on that roster. And Dame Lillard. Sorry, Dame. He's the main one out here hunting for fouls. But yeah, those are like the only two stars on that team.
So what do you think is the outcome over these next couple games with Iran and the Czech Republic? Do you think they get it together and they go to this next round, or do you think it gets spooky?
I think they make it to the medal round and then it's going to get really spooky. I say, I don't want to do that because I am an American, but I feel like they lose in the bronze medal game.
Okay. I think they're going to pull it together. And I think with my American pride, I think they're going to end up pulling out the gold, but
okay.
I think it's going to be some of the hardest, ugliest basketball games that some of them will probably ever play in their lives.
Like, there's no way you can sit here and let Nicholas Batum, Evan Fournier, and Rudy Gobert just piece you up like that. Like, Evan Fournier had like 20 years.
It's an Olympic basketball play, and he's like the best thing. He's like the Australian Allen Iverson or something over there. This is no way the Patty Mills that I'm seeing in the NBA.
Like, you think Pop is looking at him like, dog?
Where was this?
Where was this? Patty,
BJ said NBA lets players flop way too much, and now it shows.
You are correct. Fun fact: when Luca got into the league, one of the coaches was about to say was, "Yeah, you know what I mean? The NBA is easier to score than it is in international." Speaking of Luca, tell me you ain't see him drop 48.
He different.
Yep. My
streets
God.
Is saying, yo, the streets are saying when you can put some actual basketball players around Luka, it's going to be a wrap for the league.
It's going to be a wrap. Mark Cuban, if you fumble this, boy, we going to have a conversation.
You know, I was watching this show on Netflix. It's called Explained. It's like a little docu-series, and they had this episode on billionaires. And, you know, like billionaires, like the 0011, like the 00001% of, you know, our population. But they're saying the number of billionaires is increasingly rising. And then they're saying even in the group of billionaires, there's still like levels to this.
That's like, crazy.
You know, like you got the the single millionaires, and then you have like the generational millionaires, and you got like the millionaires who are like. Money will never be a thing. Like they probably don't understand what money is because they had so much of it. And Mark Cuban did a little soundbite and he was like, yo, some of those guys, like, I'm thinking like, yo, they make so much more money than me. But then he was like, I have to remember, I gotta shut the fuck up. I'm a billionaire. Ain't that crazy?
Crazy. That's insane, man.
PJ said, flop started when Vlade came in, and he also added that Luka is the truth with many exclamation points. Yo, you know someone really, really means that, like, by the exclamations in the sentence. I think every one exclamation point is like three yes! You know what I'm saying? Like a full-on yell. So,
well, I'm tempted to buy a Luka jersey, and I don't buy jerseys. I'm real tempted. If I buy it, that means
I need LeBron Lakers jersey. I was going to go AD, but then I was like, the six guy jerseys, the bronze six guy jerseys, I might need it. Might need it.
You can't say no to that.
Might need it. All right. So let's move on to the NFL. So as you can imagine, the biggest story of the week, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers, they've closed on an agreement for the reigning. Make sure y'all hear that word. The reigning NFL MVP back to Green Bay after restructuring the deals. Here are some of the details, people, for everyone who's listening out there. The 2023 year in Rodgers' contract is now void with no tags allowed in his future. His deal now would be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap space now. By the way, we've already hearing that they're making room to bring Randall Cobb back. I don't know if this is because of that. Also hearing that they're thinking their talks are beginning again with Davante Adams on restructuring his deal. Could this be because of this deal? I'm just saying. Going back to his deal. So the mechanics will be put in place for the team to address Rodgers' issues with the team. And then finally, the Packers would agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of this season. Now, this agreement to review the situation after the season implies that the team will trade Rodgers if he still feels the way he has been about the Packers' culture and decision-making. So, with all that, is this a win-win for both the Packers and Aaron Rodgers? And now that we know that the GOAT is now coming back to Green Bay, where does this put the Packers in the NFC race? Danny Ocean, the floor is yours.
First of all, before we get started, research. Kyle, I know you're here. I know you're a big Packers fan. You can jump in the chat and you and D can talk your spit. This is a win-win. Like, I like it. Packer fans, you should be excited. You get one more guaranteed year with one of the greatest quarterbacks ever played. Like, how can you be upset about that? He gone after next year, but who cares? That's a next year problem.
But we don't know that.
We don't know that. That's why he threw this temper tantrum, was to get that year out next year. Like he gone, but that's next year.
I'm gonna put it like this, and I'm gonna get back to you. Who's to say that the team bends a little bit more for everything that he wants, then goes on with the roster presently constructed and wins the Super Bowl. Now, in that circumstance, I don't see him leaving. I think he comes back and says, "Yo, let's run this back."
I hear you, but there's this man in Denver who loves him some old quarterbacks and takes them to win Super Bowls. John Elway in the wing, don't you? But again, that's a conversation for another day. He's here. He is a Packer. You guys are Super Bowl contenders. No questions asked. We're going to do the NFC North in a couple of weeks. I'm not going to spoil who I think is going to win the NFC North, but I like the Packers. As long as Aaron Rodgers is wearing Packer green, like, you guys are Super Bowl contenders. Like, this is a win for you. You should be excited. Throw a party. Like, this is the best case scenario, because last week we thought he was going to retire. So now that he's back, he's reported training camp. Like, life is good. Where does this place you guys in the NFC race? I never took you guys out of, like, second or third place. Like, you guys are still can very easily come out the NFC. No issues.
Okay. I want to see. So I agree with, I don't know how much I agree with what you're saying. I agree it's a win-win. So I agree with you there that it is a win-win. I maybe disagree with your premise that he is gone next year. While I think it's very possible I think it's very possible that we could be heading towards a breakup. I think it is also very possible that the team starts experiencing success and they look like a team that could win a championship. And I believe that in that situation, if Aaron asks for something, I think at that point they're going to be so deep in it, they're going to give him what he wants. Now, if that ultimately results in Aaron's request, if that ultimately results in a championship, I look at it then like, you have everything you want and you just won. You would want to come back to running back. Now, after that, you know, I don't really believe NFL teams can really repeat. I don't know how the Patriots did it. I don't think it's meant for NFL teams to repeat. So after that, we wouldn't win the next year. Then what?
Well, then he's old. Well, then he's like
30. Then he's old, but his trade value is still there, so we can still trade him. So let's go to your premise that maybe at the end of this season, let's just say another NFC Championship game loss. I don't think so. I hope not. He says, "Yo, this is ridiculous. How many NFC Championship games I've lost under you guys? It's time for me to move on." And they're like, they review it, and if he's still not feeling this way, okay. We're going to send him to the AFC. We're going to send you, and we're going to get one team's top two or three players, top two players and some draft picks because of it. So I think I hope that's a more unlikely situation. But if that's the case, then we would have had Jordan Love for what, 3 years behind him?
Yeah.
3 years behind him. He should kind of know what he's doing. So
I had like four thoughts and I just completely brain farted on all of them. I think, the big one was, you keep saying they keep, you know, listening to Aaron and fulfilling his requests. Well, where does it stop? So let's say this year you have another NFC Championship loss. He walks in, you'll get LaFleur out of here, get this GM out of here. What do they do? Right. They're like, "All right, Aaron," because if you do that, then he's in control. Then he is the GM. He is the coach. Like, where do you draw the line?
I think my counter argument there is, while you can have some beef with Goody, our GM,
mm-hmm.
how upset can you get with the head coach? Because he's only came in and we've only lost a collective 8 games if you include the playoffs.
I think he is mad at Matt LaFleur for that run call in the NFC Championship game.
But I would say that he would more need to be upset with the defensive coordinator, who, if I am correct, is not there anymore. That touchdown to end the first quarter lost in the game. Rodgers outplayed Brady in the game.
He did. And then the other – trying to figure out how to say this. I'm gonna sit on it, pause, until I figure out the best.
You know what? I like what Kyle said. I don't think Rodgers wants LaFleur gone. He see what a worse head coach has been. I completely agree. And Tomlin, I see what you're saying. He's saying the Packers need more. It takes a lot more talent to win a chip now. I could see y'all winning, but it's not like you're the favorite. Yo, I'm going to be honest with you. That was a good Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster, but I wouldn't say it was the best roster in the NFC. I would argue that you don't need talent to win a championship. You need the right matchups and situations.
But PJ, if the Packers do trade Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to be an NFC. They never
see that. PJ, I can almost get, I mean, like, I can guarantee you we wouldn't trade with anyone in the NFC.
A little research. Kyle is a big Packers fan, so you two know more about this than I do.
Yes. So Kyle is bringing up the point that the root of this is that our general manager got rid of Jordy Nelson, who, as many of you know, is one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite targets. And not only did they get rid of him, it was the way it was done. They asked him to take a ridiculous pay cut. I do remember this. And they pretty much left him out to dry in the mud and ditched him. You know, obviously, after the Packers, I think Jordy maybe went on to play like 1 or 2 years before retiring. So obviously, you know, being let go with the Packers was kind of the beginning of the downfall of his career, which was sad because he was a really, really, really good wide receiver. He didn't get his credit. He was a good wide receiver.
Yes, he was. He played his role, and that's all we can ask.
I'm with Kyle. I mean, like, I think it's the way they got rid of, which is why I think it was big that, you know, they started with bringing back Randall Cobb, because I think that was another, that was obviously one of Aaron's good friends, but that was one of his favorite targets. I think they wanted to make right by that. And I think, signing Jimmy Graham to that big deal. Ugh. Okay, so this question for PJ is actually one research that I need your help. So I've been hearing people say that Rodgers gets to say where he wants to go next year. Is that true?
Because I hope not.
I don't think so. I think at the end of the day, the Packers gets to choose ultimately where he goes. Obviously, I think they'll confide him a little bit, but they're also going to go with the best package. If he still feels the current way that he does now.
Because this is about.
Yeah, I agree. That is, I think that the Jimmy Graham sign to that ridiculous amount of money a little bit after the Jordy Nelson release was one of Gutekunst's worst decisions.
I think Tomlin is right though. If his contract is void, he can become a free agent, right? Like that was part of the like. There's no with the 2023 contract is now void with no tags allowed in the future. Like that means he gets to just walk away, right?
But that would be, wouldn't that be after? That would be after next year.
No, the 2023 year is gone. So that's 2022, 2023. Research. Can he just leave after next year? Or how does Aaron Rodgers get out of Green Bay?
So this year would be the 21-22 season. Next year would be the 22-23 season.
It's got to be 23-24 season. There's no way they would just let him walk. If that's the case, then Aaron Rodgers wins because he gets to do whatever he wants at the end of the year. I can't imagine the Packers do that. I can't imagine that. I mean, PJ, you're right. Like, if they do trade him in the NFC, they don't have a shot of winning, but you don't want to trade him in the NFC and then have to play him. Like, that's just salt in the wound. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
He's not going to Washington. Aaron Rodgers will not be in the NFC East, PJ. Keep that to yourself.
He ain't going to be in the NFC, period.
Nah. He's going to be in Denver.
He might be in Denver, but, man, Patty Mahomes is going to be in hell for two games a year.
That's it. Yeah. Patrick ain't worried about that, man. So do you think – I think you've already tipped your hand to this.
Yeah, I think I'm with Kyle. I don't think the full contract deals aren't out yet. So when we have them, we'll return this conversation so we can answer this question, because that is one question I have been kind of failing to wrap my mind around. It's kind of the same question. I don't know, PJ. Because, like, I don't know if he really gets to decide or if he has to share – his list of preferred teams with the Packers, who then have to engage those teams. You know what I'm saying? So it may be like he gets to decide, but he doesn't get to decide, you know.
He gets to input.
He gets to input, which is very – people deciding and having input, two very different things. That man can say, yo, I need you to – you have to trade me to the Kansas City Chiefs. Find a way to make it happen. And by y'all's purposes, the Chiefs would have to oblige to that agreement. And I'm here to tell you that doesn't happen. So
Tomlin, the answer to your question is the Washington racial slurs. It's the only name, acceptable name.
Nah, you know what? I think the Washington football team is going to keep that name.
I think it's a good name. And for those who are listening on the pod, Tomlin asked us what are our thoughts on the Washington potential names. And I think Washington football team is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking as we talk about teams in the NFC, move along to the season. I think today we want to focus on the NFC South. So, Danny, with the NFC South consisting of the Bucks, the Saints, the Panthers, and the New Orleans Saints,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with you. What do you think each team's record's going to be, and who do you think is going to be the division winner? I'll start there.
All right, so I'm going to go worst to best. I think the Panthers are in for a rough year, but a year of promise. I think they're going to be 3-14. The Falcons, we're going to talk about them. I got a lot of heat for the Falcons, so I'm just going to say they're going to be 4-13. The Saints are going to be 7-10, and I have the Bucks rolling this division at 15-2 and winning every single divisional game.
What?
The Bucks are the class of this division.
Yo, Are you serious?
The Bucks are the class of this division.
Everybody so hell bent on the Bucks being this immovable object. Okay.
Let me hear yours.
So I have the Panthers also at 3-14, and I don't have them winning a divisional game. I have the New Orleans Saints finishing 9th in the conference and 3rd in the division at 9-8, 3-3 in the division. I have the Atlanta Falcons at 9-8, finishing 8th in the conference, having the best divisional record. Listen to this. I have the Falcons finishing with the best divisional record at 5-1 and winning and finishing with an overall record of 9-8. I do have the Bucks winning the division, getting the 3 seed in the playoffs, having a 4-2 divisional record, and an 11-6 overall record.
Okay, I can see that. That's the most Atlanta thing ever to win all those divisions.
That's why I had to say it. Because
that's
I
the most getting, Atlanta thing ever.
Look, as I was like looking at the Falcons schedule, I was like, this looks like an Atlanta type game where they just come in and smoke a team for no damn good reason. And then lose to a team. Like some of the losses that I had the Falcons having, it's just being like, yeah, you guys are going to lose this game because y'all are just going to come in sleepwalking, and I know what's going to happen. Like, I know what's going to happen.
Do you think they beat the Eagles week one?
Falcons?
Yeah.
I did pick the Falcons to win that game.
I know you did. I know. I just needed to hear you say it.
No. Yo, my man Tomlin said I'm smoking the good stuff today. Nah. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Here's how I got – and here's how I got to these records, and then we can go to the biggest storylines, which I can kind of kick that off as well. It's a good transition point. So I have the Panthers being 3-14 because they're going to stink. They're going to stink. I mean, yes. They're going to stink. Okay. So I just think they're going to stink. The Saints, I think they're going to start with what's the white boy name? Taysom Hill. They're going to start with Taysom Hill for like 4 games, go 1-3, and then Jameis is going to come in and go 8-5. Jameis is going to come in and go 8-5, and they're going to barely miss out on making the playoffs. It's going to be 2 spots out, but I think that's a very likely Saints season. I think the Bucks are going to finish at 11-6 because they're going to moonwalk over the Panthers. Then they're going to split with New Orleans. I think they're going to lose both games to the Falcons.
Okay.
But I think they're going to win, you know, obviously the games outside of the division that matter, the big games. And I just have them being 11-6. My biggest story, though, in this division will be that the Falcons are going to – I put it like this. I'm going to say the biggest storyline will be that the Falcons are going to be in contention to win this division up until the last month of the season.
Wow.
I think the Falcons are going to be pacing the Bucks to win the division in the last month of the season. They're going to fall apart while the Bucks keep it together.
Wow.
That's finishing 11-6 to Atlanta's 9-8. People, all it takes is a couple games to separate you from being in the playoffs and out the playoffs. 9-8, 11-6 sounds different. It's just two victories.
Yep.
It's two victories.
I like where your head's at. I really like where your head's at. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that was just saying that's my breakout, my breakout storylines. Go ahead.
PJ, I thought of you when I wrote this today when I was at work and I was supposed to be working. For me, the biggest storyline, and I've kind of talked about it all offseason, is this notion that Taysom Hill is some sort of starting quarterback when he's really garbage. Every week on Twitter, I see some stupid-ass thread about Taysom Hill. You want to hear about Taysom Hill's season last year? Everyone keeps saying he went 3-1. D, can you let me know what teams Taysom beat last year during that 3-1 stretch?
Man, I don't think they were playoff teams, were they?
It's okay. I'll let you know. He beat the Falcons twice, he beat the Broncos, and he lost to the Eagles. Taysom Hill's QBR last year, you want to take a stab in the dark at what his QBR was?
35.
58.
Okay.
Out of 100. That's failing in every level on the – every schoolyard on earth, that's failing. Do you know how many times Taysom fumbled last year in his four starts?
6.
11. Do you want to know how many he lost?
11.
6. Do you want to know how many times Taysom Hill was sacked during his four-game stretch last year?
30.
13 times, 4 games. Taysom Hill is garbage. Get that shit out of my inbox. I'm tired of listening to it. If Taysom Hill was a starting caliber quarterback, he would not be a New Orleans Saint because someone would have traded for Taysom Hill right now. That man is 30 years old. He is not going to figure it out. There's nothing Sean Payton can do. That man is a gadget player, and he will be such for the rest of his career. Conventional wisdom, smart people, Jameis Winston is the starter, and that's it. Get this shit out of my face about Taysom and all this other junk. He is garbage. The 49ers gave up heaven and earth for Jimmy Garoppolo. Who giving up anything for Taysom? What would you give up for Taysom? What quarterback that's a starting caliber and on any team plays special teams? You think Jimmy G was in New England running gunner on the kick team? Hell no, he wasn't running on the special teams.
Talk your shit.
You think in New England Jimmy G was running fade routes? Hell no, he wasn't running fade routes.
Talk your shit. Speak on it.
Taysom is garbage.
Talk shit.
Stop lying to yourselves.
So with that
fun story,
Do you think Jameis Winston comes out as the breakout player of this division, or do you have someone else in mind?
I have someone else in mind. PJ, you keep talking about all these turnovers with Winston, but I just told you over four games, Taysom fumbled that joint 11 times and lost 6. What are we talking about here?
PJ, I can't sit here and let you say Jameis Winston sucks now. He was out there throwing with squinted eyes because he needed surgery. It's funny because the man threw, 50 touchdowns and 50 interceptions?
Like this notion that Jameis, like y'all look in the mirror and tell yourselves, yeah, man, if you look me, none of you will look me in the eye with a straight face and tell me you prefer Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. You a goddamn liar if you're going to sit here and tell yourself you rather prefer Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. You lying. You lying to me. You lying to D. You lying to the people. You lying to Jesus. You a liar. Because ain't no one on this earth picking Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. None. Zero.
They lying to Jesus too?
They lying to everyone. P- PJ, I don't care if the eye thing is fake news. You're not going to sit here and tell me that Taysom Hill is good at his job. He is not a quarterback. He is a gadget player. He needs to be treated as such. And if Sean Payton is this offensive genius that y'all tell me he is, he should be able to build an offense around Jameis Winston's strengths.
Okay, so give me touchdown pass count for give me touchdown predictions for Jameis Winston versus Taysom Hill.
Touchdown Taysom pass. Hill, I'll give you more ratios than anything. For every touchdown Taysom Hill is responsible for, there will be two turnovers, whether it be a fumble or interception. For Jameis, you're going to like it's a 1-to-1. So which one you want? I'll put it like this. If Taysom Hill is starting this year, Sean Payton is tanking. If Taysom Hill is starting this year, Sean Payton is tanking. And I'll tell you this. Now, thank God.
I'm going to agree with that point. If Taysom Hill is still starting like after week 6, then it's like, all right, man. You're throwing in the white towel.
Let me tell you something. Saints fans, you better be glad that Caesars bought the naming rights to the Superdome, and you better hope they put a casino in there because the football field ain't shit on the football field for you to watch. Go gamble.
If so it's not the Hill's Mercedes Superdome anymore?
No, it's now the Caesars Superdome.
When did that start? This year?
I don't know. I just know they announced it. PJ, dog, like you can't sit here and tell me. Like I can't. I don't believe it. Like now you doubling down. Just to double down. I don't believe it. Like there's no way. Like no, there's no way.
They said Taysom was better than Jameis Winston with 4 exclamation points.
That's 4. Dog. PJ, come on, man. I know Taysom is a great story, but you've seen how that man throw.
Okay, so off of that, who do you think will be the breakout player of the division?
So this player is already a breakout player. I think this year we're just reminded of how great he is. Even though his team's going to suck, I'm going to say Christian McCaffrey. Oh, no, not breakout player. I'm sorry. That was my division MVP. Breakout player is going to be Kyle Pitts.
Tight end out of Florida. First round pick for the Falcons. I like it. And you said your division MVP is Christian McCaffrey. So for me, I think my breakout player will be Calvin Ridley reestablishing himself as a supreme wide receiver one. Although I do love Kyle Pitts, I think Calvin Ridley's going to prove, yo, I went to Bama and I was that dude too. So I think he's going to be a great player for the Falcons in that division. I don't know why I'm kind of high on the Falcons. I think maybe they start to get together, but in Atlanta ways of getting together by barely missing the playoffs. I think for division MVP, I'm disgusted that I'm even meant to say this, but I do think it will be Mr. Tom Brady himself. Okay. I think going into the last month, like I said before, I think the Falcons and the Bucks are going to be right there, division of the line. I think Tom Brady's going to go into one of those last months of the season where he throws like 16, 17 touchdowns, no interceptions, close out the season. They get the 3 seed, and then it's, you know, on to the playoffs from there.
And then I also, for some reason, I love rookies and I love J.C. Horn. I don't know why I'm stuck on J.C. Horn. Like, he might be the breakout player. Some about cornerbacks in Carolina. I don't know what it is.
Very good history. I think when you're a team and you find and you draft a good corner, you know it instantly because you put him out there on really good wide receivers every weekend and he's consistently shutting people down. I think that's like that's a key position to find a steal player because you can just find a guy from wherever in the country and he can just be a lockdown corner and you're like, yo, he's good. He's good. Put him in any type of coverage, any type of position, any type of predicament, and he's just locking good people, good fast receivers down. No, man.
I don't care, Kyle. So Kyle put a stat in the chat saying last year, just going back to Taysom Hill, Taysom Hill's TD to turnover ratio was 17-12, better than Jameis Winston's 1-1. I hear you, Kyle, and I'll retort with this. I don't give a damn.
Point is, they both suck. Saints are cooked either way.
That's true. But know that if Taysom Hill is starting, Sean Payton is punting, and he's looking at the quarterbacks for next year.
Yeah, my man PJ said, watch out for DJ Moore from the Panthers. I agree. Yes. He's a very good wide receiver. Tomlin, I also agree. Brady threw for the quietest 4,640 TDs last year.
He did.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, you got it.
No, I was going to say, it was like at the end of the season, you saw his numbers and you're like, what?
It's Tom Brady. How do you think Sam Darnold fits in Carolina? Like, do you like it?
I do like it. I think the Panthers are going to lose a handful of games that they probably should have won, and I think they're going to get blown out in a lot of games they probably shouldn't have shown up to the stadium for. And I feel like they're going to knock off a team or two here and probably play a team that's even worse than them. And that's how I think they're going to come about their 3 wins and, you know, 14 losses.
So if they're at 3-14, they're picking top five, are they drafting a quarterback next year, even though they just, you know, traded for Sam Darnold?
No, I think they're going to probably, and hopefully they're going to try to get some pieces to double down and make sure that they have the right pieces around them. I feel like Sam Darnold's good. I don't think Sam, what I'm basically trying to say is I don't think Sam Darnold's going to be the reason they're losing games. So if anything, he might put them in position to where they probably could have won games had they had other pieces around.
I got you.
Yeah. That's all for our NFC South coverage, people. You know, Danny, was there anything else you had to say about the NFC South? I think, again, we can just run through our records again. So I got the Panthers at 3-14, Saints at 9-8, Falcons at 9-8, Bucks at 11-6, and being the 3 seed heading into the NFC playoff picture.
And I had the Panthers at 3-14. They'd be the 16th team in the conference. That's last place. I have the Falcons at 4-13. That would make them 14th in the conference. By the way, I have the Panthers divisional record 1-5, the Falcons divisional record 2-4. I have the Saints at 7-10, 3-3 in the division. That's 10th in the conference. And I have the Bucks, the number one seed overall in the NFC, at 15-2, and they sweep the division with ease. The Falcons might scare them once. But
I really don't get how you just think the Bucs are just going to run rampant all over this conference.
It's more so shade to the other three teams than it is respect for the Bucs.
Okay.
Like, I have no faith. Like, I also looked up some of Taysom Hill's stats today. Like, Taysom Hill against the Blitz is like me against the Blitz on a professional team.
Oh, he was terrible. Oh, Lord. All right. Well, as we close this thing out, told y'all earlier I was back on my bullshit. I told y'all at the start of this show I was back on my bullshit, and I'm here. I need y'all to really listen in, and if you watch, I need you to really look at me closely when I say this. If you are not a fan of the Green Bay Packers, I know for a fact you preyed on the downfall of the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I know that when you heard the news back in February, March-ish, that Aaron Rodgers no longer wanted to be a Green Bay Packer, you were upset, but you were happy because you were like, this is what we've been waiting for. Finally, the wild card in the NFC isn't going to be there. And I watched y'all. Every week, get on the timeline and you baited and you trolled and you told me there was no way the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are going to figure this out. And you told me, D-Mix, Jordan Love, I hope it was worth it. Oh, Packers fan, I hope it was worth it. Jordan Love, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Rodgers this, Rodgers that. He should demand a trade. Y'all told me over and over. And look what happened. Your dumbasses was wrong. You were wrong. Not only do we get that bad mother, shut your mouth, back one more year, we get our number one wide receiver back for one more year, potentially more if they work out a contract. And if by chance, they both leave, then we will be in the next phase of our Packer plan with a quarterback who's been groomed in the same offense for 3 years. The Packers right now, we can't lose. And all you suckers out here with your bum-ass quarterbacks on your bum-ass teams are going to be rebuilding for the next 5 to 10 years. We might be rebuilding for 2. Don't ever come for us, is what I'm saying, because we not sending for you, you bums. Chicago ain't beat us in how long, yet I've been hearing Bears fans real salty. Listen, y'all ain't won since 85 because that was the best team you ever going to put together, and even then your quarterback wasn't even all that. Vikings, Lions, you can't even sniff a Super Bowl. Why are you talking to me? And to you Tom Brady lovers out here, you could tell me a million times, my man's got 7 rings. Newsflash, I don't give a damn. I've watched him win these rings. I know how many fucking rings he has. Rodgers is still the GOAT. I don't care. Brady has just been on better teams, which is no knock to Brady. Shout out to them 7 rings, brother. You did that. But stop playing with my man. Whether this is the last season or the last of the couple of years of Rodgers and Green Bay, I'm here to tell y'all that if you're not really a Green Bay Packer fan, shut the hell up. Your team's been in obscurity, in and out of the playoffs. We've been contenders, baby. We've been contenders. Yes, we can say we contenders because we've been contenders. You know what contender means? Contending for championships. A lot of y'all don't know what it's like to lose the NFC championship games because your asses don't get there. You don't even get close. Y'all some MJ losing to the Piston ass motherfuckers. You don't even touch the conference and the finals. To Packer Nation out here, we might be going through a rough time going forward, but we must enjoy this season if this is the last season. And if this is the last season, we cannot move with malice in our heart. We must appreciate the years the brother has put into the organization. I want to conclude with one last statement. All in all, what I'm trying to say is, if you were not an OG Patriots fan, if you were not a Dallas Cowboys fan from the 90s, if you're not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan from the early 2000s, 70s, that is all.
Thinking of dynasties?
Thinking of dynasties.
The 49ers.
If you're not a 49ers fan.
The Broncos, John Elway's last run.
Yeah, if you're not a Broncos fan. You hear what I'm saying here, people? These are championship pedigree teams. If your team isn't one of them, you can't talk to me crazy. Are you kidding me? Giants, I'll somewhat hear you. You beat the Packers every time you went to a Super Bowl. I'll somewhat listen to you. You think I want to hear from a Washington fan?
Tomlin's a Seattle fan. He's saying they've been contenders. What you talking about?
I'll accept that notion. Seattle has been contenders, and they've been in the same position we've been, which I really don't understand how you can come at me crazy. You're doing the same thing with your quarterback. Y'all might be doing Russ a little bit worse. Y'all want to protect him. Y'all just run him to the ground. All right. Kansas City fans, I'll accept it.
Hey, shout out to – that's the homie. Hey, that's my boy Marlon. Hello, Marlon. He's a big KC fan.
I'll accept it. I'm just saying. I've been hearing a lot of people talk crazy about the Packers and our situation, and I'm here to say, shut the hell up. You don't know what you're talking about. Worry about your team and what you got going on, because most of you, outside of maybe a handful or so of you, your franchise has been some fucking bums. And I'm going to tell you Buffalo Bills fans this, damn it. You had a good year last year, and I have a lot of respect for y'all, but that don't make up for the fact that you lost 4 damn Super Bowls in a row. Stop playing with me. That's all I got. That's all I got. Take me to football season. Take me to football season, because I'm ready. I'm ready for Virginia Tech football, because I'm ready to talk my trash. But I'm really ready for Green Bay Packers football because, yeah, all right. Y'all think that man ain't going to come back inspired? All right. He saw Michael Jordan and said, why can't I win a ring and retire? He saw Peyton Manning and said, why can't I win a ring and retire? All right.
You just scorched the earth. I can't follow that. All I can say is good night, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. That's episode 24.
24 mom episode.
The Mamba episode.
To get their Mamba mentality episode on.
This was a very Mamba-ish episode with that ran with the Packers. D, where can the people find you and all your great Packers takes?
Hey, you know to find me at Los Demix across socials, at Los Demix, LOSDEEMIX. Y'all know what it is, man. Football season is here, people. You got to hear these narratives that people have been spewing about your team all summer. I know y'all been hearing your own team's narratives. It's time to be like, yo, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know sports. Shut the fuck up. It's okay to sometimes tell them, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about sports. I'm going to need you to shut up. That man, come on now. You ain't never heard someone just say a random narrative about your team and you just like, come on, son. You don't know sports. Are you dead ass? You don't know sports.
Dearest man, I heard they're thinking about trading Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and package deal to the Raiders.
What the fuck do the Raiders have to complete an Aaron Rodgers Devontae Adams trade? What type of assets do you think they got? They got to trade the damn stadium. All right, man. Y'all have a great night because I'm getting worked up about this. Y'all have a great night. Shout out to everyone who showed up. It's a great show, as always. Danny, where can the people find you?
It doesn't matter. I can't top that. You can find me on Twitter, MattAds14. Show's brought to you by goingfor2.com. Head over there for all your fantasy needs. D, let's say goodbye to the people.
People, you already know it's much love. And when you see this Nas fade, it can only be one brother, the good brother, Los D-Mix. We'll be back next week to speak on it. Amen. Y'all hear? Y'all, I'm coming in with some good educated guesses about what I'm thinking these previews are going to be for these NFL seasons and divisions. Danny's coming in with them too. So y'all stay tuned. Next week, who we talking about next week? It's not the
I don't know. AFC you want to go to – It's back to the AFC. You want to go AFC West? You want to go AFC East? You want to go to AFC North? Where you want to go?
I think the AFC East would be interesting.
All right, let's go to AFC East. We'll be in the AFC East next week. We can talk about AFC. Josh Allen.
Well, we're here.
We're here.
All right, people. Peace.